Right, next up we have Alistair Munro. So Alistair currently works at Udo as a software developer, and he's got a Bachelor of Science, Computer Science major from Victoria University. He's been with the Wellington OLPC volunteers for a year and a half, which is when it all began here in Wellington, and has played a key role in the volunteer group here, as well as helping volunteers and developers around the world. So Alistair's kindly offered to come along today and take you through finding a way around the XO and having a look at sugar. We've also got some USB keys up here, so if you would like to take some sugar home, feel free to grab one. If you'd like to donate a USB key in replacement, that helps us. We are volunteers. So please welcome Alistair.
Thank you for my presentation. She deleted it.
No, I think I closed it.
It shouldn't be in PDF. It should be in a PowerPoint document. Oh yeah, so can everyone hear me? Yep, cool. First of all, this is a workshop, so I actually expect you to get off your laptops and do something. You notice the XOs that have been handed around all around the place? I'm really getting you to change some of the operating system code. So, can you hand those out? I've got some... there's a couple of spare laptops lying around. If anyone's not using them, just feel free to grab them. There's some handouts coming around with some code on it. Awesome. Okay, so first off, I'm one of the NZ volunteers for the One Laptop Per Child program. And... I've been with them for about a year and a half. We meet up every Saturday morning to do testing. Sometimes a little rough on a Saturday morning, but it's all worth it. Sugar is written in Python, as you heard previously from Malta. The language is an interpreted language, which allows which means you don't have to recompile after every change, which makes for a very easy editing of the code. One of the activities we're going to do in the workshop is to create this spiral view that you see up on the screen. It's not one of the standard views of the ring layout. So first up, who here has a basic knowledge of the Linux terminal to start with? Cool. Okay, so there's two types of XOs around. There's the 1.0s, which have the touchpad, which spans the entire width of the computer, and the 1.5s, which has the touchpad, which is just the middle part. And for this, you want to find the specified file, which is up there. And if you're not sure which version of the laptop you have, then ask one of the volunteers. Most of us have these OLPC t-shirts on. Terminal. Terminal activity. Damn, I wish I had an XO. Okay, there's a little box with a dollar sign on it. Anyone have any trouble? That is a 1.0. And it has no activities on it. Who's Grant? Yeah, this one doesn't have any activities on it. Can you sort that out? Anyone else having issues? So, if you've got the handout, you should see that in this file, about 20 lines down the file, there should be that code there. The hashes in Python are a comment. So all these layouts are already in the code, and it is commented out for some reason. Anyone?
Yep.
Oh, we're looking for the terminal. No basics about that. And so when you find this block of code, if you just delete the three hashes before the box, triangle, and sunflower layout, just a note, you need to be root to edit this file. If you've opened it as a standard user, it's going to have issues saving. So you just sudo, and there's no authentication. So just, it just works. No, the control key is located on the left about halfway up the keyboard, where the caps lock usually is. Oh yeah, it's in Spanish. Sorry, that's control. They're all in the usual place. See if you can sort that out. Anyone have any trouble? Yeah. The default editor on the XOS is nano, so if you sudo nano favoritesview.py. So once you've removed the hashes from that before those lines of code, you can then save the file. It won't display immediately on the home view. You have to restart the display manager by doing Alt Control Erase or Backspace, the standard restart for X. No, have you restarted X? And once you've done that, on the home view, which I think I have a slide. It's annoying. The home view is that screen there. On the top right, you see the spiral and the three, four lines up there. If you click where the spiral view is, you should have about five layouts rather than the normal two. takes a little while to display the SVG images once when you click on it.
We have success here. That's great.
Cool. Everyone got that? Anyone still having issues with that? Nope. Hands. What was that? We're getting there. Getting there. This is just showing all the hidden views. We're going to move on to some more hardcore stuff in a minute. Is everyone good to move on? I'll take the silence as a yes. Okay, so that's what we've just done. We've changed the views and unlocked the hidden views. Not what I wanted. Okay, so next. The spiral view I was talking about before requires a whole lot of new code to be added to the operating system. And there's handouts all around the place, which means you don't have to copy off the screen. Python is a white space language, which means that all the tab indents have to be exactly correct, or it'll just not work. So we want to open the favorites layout.py, other than the as opposed to favorites view, which is located in the same folder as before. And then add this block of code to the end of the file. And it's quite nasty trying to type on these keyboards. Is that? I don't know. Yep. Save right file, and hit enter, and root. And then you can go Control X to quit. And then if you hit Control Alt and Y up, which is erase out the display manager. And once it restarts, the icon up the top right, click on it, will give you a whole list of new views. Oh, I've got a slide with Mel, one of those ones. So. I can set you. Fair enough. Yeah. Isn't it easier to copy off here? I suppose it should be on bed there. Yeah. This code's on the back of the handout sheet, so if you don't want to read off the screen the whole time.
everything I'm saying is here, and it's all explained. Yeah. No, just go straight on to here. This, yeah, this is in the same folder, so it's in that folder there. Yeah. If you go. Can you help her out? Just go to the table top. But trouble because it's in Spanish. The keyboard. Good luck. He's already tucking in, he's gonna finish. Anyone having any great trouble with that?
The second part of that is you need to also change the file we were changing before and add a few lines to the end of the code we changed earlier.
I think they're defined by the number of those shown on the media.
Yeah. I
I think they're constants defined because the capitalization of them.
Does anyone want me to wait, or should I move on? Wait. Okay, wait. I haven't got too many slides after this. Yeah.
We have a good idea how to fix it, so Control F2, redox.
Give that a couple minutes, then we have to move on because of time constraints. Unfortunately, lunchtime is looming.
So some of the education belief behind OLPC and Sugar is that you learn best by creating and by doing things together. If you're struggling, the best place to get some help is probably sitting right next to you.
Okay, so I'm going to move on. You can all keep typing away. Can you hear me? Is that any better? Cool. Okay, so I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about the Wellington or the New Zealand Volunteer Group. The Wellington group meets up every Saturday morning at the Southern Cross. And we've been doing that since about July 2008. The Wellington group meets up fortnightly notes are breaking. The Auckland group meets up fortnightly at the Windsor Castle in Auckland, and they've been doing that since about September 2009. And Christchurch has been fairly intermittent so far, but we're hoping to get something started this year. The purpose of the testing groups is to test the OS and also the activities and give feedback to developers and try and get a lot of bugs fixed. We also demo the EXOs to at events nationwide. We help schools that want to install Sugar. We help prepare for deployments. Like, we've had a lot of requests from different activity developers and also from the main OLPC team to test deployment configurations and that sort of thing. Here's Grant up the back there, showing his lovely turtle artwork. Also, our host at the Southern Cross in Wellington is very tolerant of us. We bring lots of toys into their cafe and they don't seem to care too much. Like, we didn't even get any trouble when we bought in soldering irons and used their sources and stuff like that. When we were using these to make sensors for turtle art, for turtle art and also for a number of other activities, they allow external sensors to be built. One of the advantages of testing in a public place is that we get a lot of people coming along and going, what are these green laptops? They're very bright. And also, there's the Southern Cross is a family restaurant, cafe, and so there's a lot of kids around. So we get young kids coming along all the time wanting to play, and it keeps them out of trouble while their parents drink coffee. We also have a few adults wanting to have play, but generally they're a lot more cautious. Don't want to break things, but the OLPCs are fairly tolerant and we can fix almost anything that happens to them. We've had a bit of a play around with some solar panels, which is very helpful for Africa and places like that where there's a lot of sun, but sometimes there's a bit of a issue with getting power to some of the villages. So we can do deployments there, powered by solar power. This solar panel here, I think Mike calculated that it could power an entire school from this battery. Yes, Vic? We have a lot of pain with that, and Vic was asking where we get our power leads from. We have a lot of issues, and we just try and get cheap converters. Could be useful, yes. We're always after power leads.
Half a dozen of them, so I'm happy to share.
Excellent. The EXOs come with a US power adapter as standard, which doesn't work in New Zealand. So we get all these given to us from the US and we can't plug them in and give them any power, which pretty much makes them useless to us. Yeah, the physical plug, it just doesn't work. So we tend to have to buy foreign adapters so we can plug them in, which tend to be rather expensive, or twist the prongs with a pair of pliers, which is a little dangerous. Um,
supply voltage for the DC input so we know what to plug in?
I think it's a 12 volt input. Not quite sure. Vic?
Yes.
It's 12 volt. It'll accept quite a range of voltages. It is reverse voltage protected with a honking rate diode. But like I said, the little DC side connectors are non-standard. So if you really need one, let me know. I managed to score a few off the developers.
Here's one of our youngest testers showing off some sort of pictures she's taken with the record activity and put into a table on a write activity. So you can take pictures in one activity and then export them into another activity. Some of the XOs you see around have the little viewfinders. This is one which has been manufactured by OLPC. There's a couple around various places which have been printed by Vic on the RepRap. Thanks, Vic. And they used so we can see where the camera is being pointed, because the camera is on the same side of the screen, and if you're trying to take a photo, the person you're taking the photo of can see you, see themselves, but you can't see them. The person in this photo is Mel Chua, who worked for OLPC, but is now with Red Hat, and she visited us last year and bought over a few of these viewfinders for us. And was very interested in how we run our testing groups, which seems to be the envy of the OLPC project. They always keep asking us how we do it. We just go to a cafe and eat food and test. Here we see in Bhutan some of our work paying off. This is it's really good when we see what we've been doing pay off in foreign countries, kids learning, just playing around, having fun, and we get a lot out of this. There have been about 1.3 million XOs ordered worldwide, and probably I'd say about a million have been deployed already. I'm not quite sure on numbers, but it's very hard to get exact numbers from people. Here's the a map of all the deployments around the world. This, I think, is a little bit old, but it's very hard, again, to find an up-to-date deployment map. And please don't ask me about the dot in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean. I don't know what's there. What was that? Apparently it's in Atlantis.
We think that's one on an aeroplane.
Thanks, Tabitha. Okay. Of the deployments, there's about 3 or 4 full deployments around the world. Uruguay, Peru, Hanoi, all have full saturation deployments. So Uruguay has 420,000 XOs, Peru has 290,000, and then Niue with 500. There's also been some small deployments of late in Australia, in the Northern Territory, and they've got about 1,500 at last count. Going to be a lot more? Wow.
So in the audience today, we have Sridhar, who's come from OLPC Australia. He's their new technical coordinator.
Cool. What do you mean? What's the feedback like? Tabitha?
There's a number of big research projects going on, various universities commissioning research projects. A lot of the deployments are saying, actually, we're just going to go ahead without the research. It's too early to say. A lot of the deployments also have blogs that you can read, so you can see what's happening. Nearly everybody involved is a volunteer, so it's the amount of information you get depends on how many volunteers support each deployment. There are some particularly good blogs where the teachers are honest and say, hey, today it worked really well and we had a great experiment with the students. And then they have the days where they say, actually, this just didn't work. But you really see the benefit when you see those children starting to go to school. A lot of the areas don't have regular attendance and they've seen changes. They've seen people turning up every day. You're seeing more people being involved in their children's education and in their community's children's education. So you're seeing shifts, but it's quite hard to find that research. You have to look for it.
Okay, moving on. The specs of the laptops, a lot of people seem to be interested in the technical specifications. The XO1s, which are, as I said before, the ones with the touchpad that expands all the way across the laptop, have a 7.5-inch screen, 433 megahertz AMD Geode processor, 256 megabytes of RAM, and a 1 gigabyte flash memory. The screens on the laptops are very low power. In full color mode, they use 1 watt of power. And when you turn the backlight down and go into full high contrast mode, they use 0.2 of a watt. So it's very good for battery efficiency. This is the motherboard for the 1.5 revision of the XOs, which is the current focus of the OLPC project. It's pretty much putting a whole lot of new hardware in the old shell and trying to keep the same or lower price point while upgrading as much as possible.
If anyone would like to see the inside of an XO, we have one with the cover off here. A 1.5.
So for the 1.5s, as you can see out there, the specifications, they have 1 gigabyte of RAM, so up from 256 megs, which is quite a significant upgrade. Their processor is a VIA C7M, which they're looking to have its variable clock rate, so it's going to go somewhere between 400 and 1 gigahertz. And the 4 gigabyte flash memory, which is optionally upgradable to 8 on manufacturer, so that can be changed depending on the needs of the deployment. Okay, so back to Sugar. The hardware doesn't really matter so much. The hardware is a good price point for developing countries, but underneath there's the Sugar platform, which Walter was talking about earlier, which is a OS designed for education. And so we can install this on any hardware. Got a whole lot of Sugar on a stick, which is a USB drive. You can boot off it and it'll load your operating system. It's persistent, so anything you save on there will stay there for the next boot. And you can just use that for young kids, keep them out of trouble, give them a whole lot of fun activities. There's lots of games there to play with. A lot of them are educational, even though they don't seem so. if you want any help with getting sugar, ask one of the volunteers around. There's a lot of us around. And I think we'll be doing a install on the open day on Saturday. Yep. The some of the views in Sugar. This is the network view, which is if you look at the top left-hand corner. If you go to that view, you should see if you're on, if everyone's on the same network, you'll see all the other exos in the room. The 1.5s have a small issue that their network drops out without without warning. They're all prototypes still, so they're not not ready for production. But our test group, status as a testing group, we've managed to acquire 5 of the prototypes. And we, yep, out the back. What was that? They are. We've got to get one then. One of the other main views of Sugar is the journal view, which is pretty much a record of anything, everything you do on the laptop, and it gives you details of when it was last used, the name of the activity. You can also go in and edit the title shown there, all the, and then shows you who uses it and that sort of thing. And it can be filtered up the top. You see there, you can filter by activity, filter by who uses the activity and that sort of thing. So Sugar activities, Sugar has a lot of activities, and as a testing group, we I get told I'm running way over time. There's a lot of activities, and as a testing group, we test as many as we possibly can. It's very hard to try and keep up to date. There's always new ones coming out. We try to keep in close contact with the authors of the activities, and give them as much feedback as possible, positive and negative, because positive reinforcement encourages them to do more work for us. When Walt was here last year, he helped us customize Sugar to the New Zealand locale. So we've got a Koru pattern in the middle where the XO icon is, and also the spiral that I showed earlier. How can you help? Join a volunteer group. If anyone's from Wellington, Auckland, Christchurch, there's also OLPC Australia, I believe. Just talk to one of us and we can point you in the right direction. Download Sugar, sugarlabs.org is the website for that. I had that on the next slide. Tweet about OLPC and Sugar. Anything to get the word out there is good. Everything a little bit helps. And also make a donation, which you can do through laptop.org. And here's some useful websites. Any questions? Silence. Awesome. If anyone's got any questions afterwards, come see me. Very friendly.
Thank you, Alistair. We're definitely into lunchtime now, but just so you are aware of how many people around here know about OLPC and can help you if you have questions, we have Joel Stanley at the back there in the green shirt. He's done some development work for OLPC and is really, really happy to talk to anybody and everybody about the project. We've got a number of volunteers in the room. We've got Alistair, we've got Carl over here, we've got Tom, We've got Vic, who prints our viewfinders, and he's got a few XOs too, so he can definitely help you. We've got Grant at the back there. If you know Brenda, Brenda's around somewhere, and she's a regular tester. So do just come and ask a question if you'd like. I hope you've enjoyed the morning, and we'll see you after lunch.